And joining us right now is the author of a book called Life Lessons from Little League, A Guide for Parents and Coaches. His name is Dr. Vincent Fortnays, and it's an interesting book. And I'll tell you, as a guy who has been the vice president of a Little League and has coached for many, many years, you hit on some major things that I want to talk to you about. First of all, let's talk about parents who use Little League as a babysitting service.
Yes. Yeah, you know, in the book, what I tried to do, as you know, my background is I'm a psychiatrist, a neurologist, and an ethicist, and I was a coach for 13 years, and one of the things I noticed was that, in fact, being a manager, because my dad was my manager, the very first meeting I ever had, you know, I invited all the parents, expecting, you know, a full house when I got back from the office, and found out that hardly anyone was there at all. And I began to realize that many parents considered Little League a babysitting service. That, in fact, they didn't have to be present. That's all they had to do was deliver their child, and their responsibility was over. And what I try to do in the book is give parents the four secrets of success. You know, one of the difficulties that we found, and I think you especially, if you were vice VP of a league, is that, you know, many parents are more of a hindrance than they are a help.
Absolutely.
And every parent that brings their child to Little League wants the best. They want them to become a success. And many do just the opposite. So what I tried to do is give the four secrets or the four keys of success. And they are, the number one and the most important is presence. In fact, when I was at Yale, one of the surveys that we did with students that were in their senior year, we asked, what did they remember? Or what was the most influential thing that they remembered about their parents? And you know what it was? It was either about their presence or the absence of their family at things that they did. For instance, Little League, plays, etc. And because when you're not present for your child, you're giving them a very clear message. And that is that they are not very important. And one of the essential parts of building self-confidence, of building that spirit that, you know, no matter what happens, I can do it, is the approval of your parent. And one of the biggest ways of showing approval of a parent is being there. I mean, how many movies are there where, you know, the little kid or the batter is getting up and he's looking into his stands, you know, where the boxer looks into the stands to see if their mom or dad or their father has arrived or not, because that's how important that is. I can't stress that being there for your child is more important than anything else. And even though you may have a job, you know, I had a job. I was a physician. I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yet I made time. I made sure I had somebody covering me.
Yep. Let's go to number two. Right down the
line.
Yeah,
the second one, the four of them was I call you making a pact with your family. First is presence. The second is attitude. The third is acceptance. And the fourth is communication. Mm-hmm. All of them are extremely important. But attitude is, you know, paramount. It's not what I would call the most important. Acceptance is really the one that is most important of all of them. But attitude is great. And one of the reasons why I even wrote this book was primarily because I had gotten to a game an hour early because I thought my game started at 9 instead of at 10:30, right? And so I get down there, and so I was forced to watch some other coaches. And, you know, my first 2 years, I didn't lose a single game. I mean, I won two seasons without a loss. I mean, I was the hottest coach for these 5 to 7 year olds, you know, you've ever seen. And I was really something else. The only trouble is I realized that a lot of people really didn't want to bring their kids back for me as a coach, and I couldn't understand why. And I found out why during one game. A ball was hit to the second baseman. And the little kid, you know, got in front of it, you know, ball rolled in his glove, rolled out of his glove, went to pick it up, kicked it, finally picked it up on the base runner, had already passed first base and threw it into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the coach comes out of the dugout and starts. He says, "You can't catch the darn ball. What are you doing throwing it?" You know, and then as he goes back in the dugout, he kicks over some bats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the next batter got up that inning, I looked at all the faces of these little kids. All right, they were about 8 to 9 years of age. And across the frown of every kid was written, "God, please don't let the next ball be hit to me."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and So the next inning, the other team is up, and a ball is hit to the second baseman, just like this other one. The kid, you know, boots it, you know, picks it up, throws it even further into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for the coach. The coach comes out and says, "That's getting in front of it. Nice try.
Mm-hmm.
Good arm. The next time we're going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it." You know, and the next batter got up, and I looked at the faces of every kid on that team, and across their smile was written, "God, let the next ball be hit to me."
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, which team do you think was going to become a success? Which coach had sowed confidence in their kids, and which one had sowed fear and intrepidation and the seeds of what I would call defeat? And, you know, there's no doubt. And I looked at that, and I said, holy mackerel. I said, you know, I am like coach number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that immediate. So that's the second thing, the attitude, a positive attitude. Always.
Yeah, well, it's interesting
positive.
That you mentioned that.
That doesn't mean putting up with a lot of baloney.
Yeah, it's not just the attitude of the coach, though. It's the attitude of the players, the attitude of the parents. I've had parents who videotape every single moment of their kids' careers, quote unquote, and they take it so seriously that they challenge every umpire's call. They scream and hoot. If a kid in the other team drops the ball, they cheer. I hate that as much as I do a kid who gives me attitude as well, or a coach.
Yeah.
That I. By the way, if I hear a coach,
you're bringing up.
If I hear a coach yelling at a player like you illustrated, they're not coaching anymore in my league.
Yeah.
We actually remove them from the league. That is not their job. Their job is to teach the kids and let the kids have fun, and that's it. And if you have something to say that's constructive criticism to teach them, you do it on the side in a quiet manner.
Yeah, and that's so true. You know, it's one of the things, as you know, Tommy Lasorda does commentary throughout the book. You know, Mike Socha wrote the foreword, and Earl Hershiser and Joe's Torre, and I mean on and on and on. We have all the Major League Baseball players making commentary. And one of the things that Tommy Lasorda says, he says, you know, if anything, make your kids smile. He says, I know when I make my friends smile, it gives one message to some people, and other people it just as confuses them. You know, and
mm-hmm.
so you know, he puts a perspective on it, and he, you know, he makes it fun. He makes the book very, very readable, and you know, and somewhat hilarious too. And the book is really one which, you know, what I'm trying to do is by vignettes, by my experience, really teach parents. The third one is acceptance, and this is probably the most important thing. And I always bring up the story of Greg. And Greg was this ball player where the president came to me and said, look, we have this one kid, and he knew I was a neurologist. He says, he's so uncoordinated, we don't want him to play this year, but the parents asked me to talk to you. So I asked the kid on. He was 12 years old. I mean, he was clumsy as, you know, you could
mm-hmm.
possibly be. And he really was. You really had to put him way out in the outfield so he wouldn't get hurt. But the kid had an incredible attitude. His parents were there all the time, always seeing the positive that he did. You know, when he would cheer for his the other, he never asked to be put in for all the innings. You know, he was just such a positive effect on all the kids. And at the end of the year, I said, you know, I said, of all the kids on this team, I said, you know, I said to the father, I said, you know, your son, as you know, is not the most talented. I don't have to tell you that. I said, but by far, he has the best attitude. I said, more confidence than I've seen in any other kid.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how'd you do it? He looked at me, and he says, you know, Doc, he says, I realized I could not change the color of my kid's eyes. He says, but what I could do is I could change the sparkle in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he does. And that's the reason why I tell parents, you don't need a kid who's talented. You don't need a kid who's better than all the others. It's not being the best. It's bringing out a kid who will try his hardest.
And I think
a kid who, you know, will get out there, and when he falls down, gets up again, realizes that, you know, that losing is never fatal, right? And winning is never final. You know, it's that, you know, you can lose as long as you don't lose the lesson. And, you know, the lesson is that, hey, in Little League and all these little sports when kids are growing up, the whole thing is playing the game, getting in there, giving it your best. Because, you know, later on in life, the kids who make it are the turtles, you know, the guys who just keep on plugging at it. You know, you don't have to be a genius. And I've seen so many kids who are so talented get burned out by parents who have unfulfilled expectations, and because they didn't make it in life or they didn't make it as a major league, they're going to have their child make it. You know, they have some idea that, you know, they're going to have their kid is going to be a Mickey Mantle, he's going to be, you know, Barry Bonds, he's going to be this, that, and the other thing. And unfortunately, what they do is then they throw their expectations on their kids. And you have coaches doing the exact same thing.
And what happens is when they put the expectations on those kids, many times those children rebel and actually end up not even enjoying the sport at all.
Oh, that is exactly what you're doing. That's the reason why you can be a help or you can be the best meaning parent could either be a help or could be a terrible hindrance. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book. As you know, I give all the money that I make, all my royalties, go to Little League. In fact, I donated $20,000 worth of books to Little League already. And every penny that comes in goes directly to the local Little Leagues. I've done that in my first book, and I donated over $250,000 to Little League. I'm hoping that, you know, we will have the same success with this book because, you know, we need more than anything today when we have parents, you know, so many families that have been separated and there's just one, you know, there's just a single mother, a single father. I even have, you know, a chapter in there, how to be a single parent, you know, how to deal with the adversity, how to, you know, make your child, you know, how to be both a mother and father to a child. And that's very, very difficult, by the way. How to choose a coach. When you have a bad coach, how to change it. You know, what to do. What is the first thing you say to your child when they come home? You know, well, the survey that I did, over 80% of the parents said, ask, did you win? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What should you be saying to your child?
I asked my kid if he has won. Did you have fun today?
Right.
What did you learn?
Exactly. And
what did
that
you learn?
Is it. Did you have fun? What did you do? And that opens up the kid. The kid will always find something. But when you say, well, this is one of the reasons why, and Tommy Lasorda says it over and over again. He says, you know, the only job where you start at the top is digging a hole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, you know, winning is not half as important as learning how to deal with losing.
And I have so many stories
because
I want to talk to you about.
When you have a team and you come home, and your child comes home and you say, did you win? You have to understand that you have just condemned 50% of the kids. You have a 50-50 chance of having that kid having lost. At the end of the year, you know, 80% of the teams don't come in first place. And, you know, in fact, in Little League, and, you know, in most sports, I mean, if you score, I mean, if you hit 300, you're a great batter. That means you made out 70% of the time. So people, one of the major problems that I put in the book, and I spend a lot of time on this, is what is the difference between success for an adult and success for a child? And a parent's understanding of this will make all the difference in every endeavor that they have with their child.
Well, it's a great gift for people if a kid is in a Little League. I got to cut you off. I'm sorry because you know, there's so many things I wanted to talk to you about, and we're not going to have time to talk to about any of them. The book is available at sportspublishingllc.com and amazon.com. You can call toll-free 877-424-BOOK, and I recommend it highly to parents who have kids in Little League, to grandparents who want to give it to their kids to help them coach or as parents, and also to the kids themselves to actually, you know, they can actually learn a little bit about their parents and their coaches a little bit through this as well. You know, the video obsession was one thing that really annoyed me. One parent took pictures of every single game that their kid was in. This kid would strike out continuously, and this kid's stuff's on tape, you know? What good does that do unless they're showing the kid what he's doing wrong and they're trying to help him, which that was not the case.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to give as an example, and you mentioned acceptance, is when acceptance can actually, if you don't accept what your kid is, you can actually put them in danger. I had a situation in one of my teams where I had a kid that had some serious skill problems, and his attitude was that he played in the dirt and he picked grass during the games. His attention span was zero. So what the parents said to me was, why is my kid always in the outfield? I want my kid at third base. And I said to this parent, this child is not capable of playing third base without getting hurt. You have to, you know, he's a great kid and he tries hard, and we have him in the outfield so that he won't get hurt. He says, well, I want him at third base. I put him at third base one inning to try to see what happened. First ball hit was a line drive from this kid that just missed his head. He wasn't looking at the field. He wasn't looking at the batter. He was looking in the stands at his friend. And it missed his ear by a quarter of an inch. And it was going probably 80 or 90 miles an hour. It would have actually killed him. I turned around to the father. I said, "You still want your son over here at third base?" He said, "No, no, no, coach. Put him back in the outfield." But I mean, that kind of thing, you know. And I didn't want to do it because I had bad feelings about it from the beginning. But you know, sometimes you have to cave into these things because you get. I've had people write letters to the league, you know, addressing things like that. I had a kid who actually had some serious physical and mental and emotional problems on my football team, where if you threw it near him, he cried if the ball was anywhere near him. And I eventually found a good spot for him. I gave him the job of center. And he actually, and also on defensive plays, he was a rusher. This is on a flag football team.
Yeah.
And his parents were so, so, you know, grateful that I found something he enjoyed, that he enjoyed it so much, that they wrote this long, fawning letter. But I guess, you know, those parents were accepting.
I think your listeners don't realize, your listeners don't realize what how insightful you really are. I mean, I hope everybody is listening to this program and listens to it over and over and listens to you, because there's no doubt in my mind that you know what you're doing, and parents have to listen to you. I have one chapter called The Mother of All Meetings, and what it is how a coach to set up the season so that, you know, you set up the objectives, you set up what you expect from these parents. And I have found that coaches that use it, they will turn around and they write me letters and say, "My gosh, you know, this was the most valuable chapter in the entire book for coaches." But, you know, it's just what you're saying, you know, really being parents knowing that, you know, you're out there not only to have the kids learn new motor skills, but also you're there to protect them and also to learn morality, and that is, you know, family values, that, you know, more than anything else that you could teach the kids is to be honest, you know, to try their hardest,
mm-hmm.
to learn the work ethic. And that's what this is all about. And that's what you do.
I mean, yeah, it's that. And I also, I do that. I do exactly what you recommend in the book. And I've been doing this for years in terms of when I first start coaching, I give them a sheet that I put out myself that tells them my expectations of them and their child. All I want from the children, I tell the children, if I'm talking, they don't talk. That's my rule. All right?
Yeah,
they have a question,
know,
they raise their
any
hand.
Any of your listeners out there that, you know, want a book and, you know, they come from a league where parents can't afford them, please have them free to call me. This is called Life Lessons from Little League. You know, I'm giving out $20,000 worth of free books, and my number is 574-574-0525, okay? And that's 574-0525, you know, and I'd be more than happy to send them some books. You know, this book has not been written to make any money for me. This book is written to make America and our children a wonderful place and a better place to be brought up.
Yeah, if you want to send some over here, I'll be glad to put them in the Little League buildings over here. Where
oh, yeah,
are.
Sure. If you would like, you know, please let me know. In fact, I'm having the publisher, Sports Publishing, send out books right now. Let me know exactly where, if you could maybe call me back on that other number.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get your address and we'll send out 100 books to you.
I think that parents have to really talk to their kids. One of the things that I really get aggravated about is a parent, for instance, I had a basketball team too. I've been coaching basketball for 8 years. I coach basketball, baseball, and football. And one of the things I do coach for is not to win. And I tell that to parents when I first start. I said, you know something? My goal is not to win. And they all don't like that. Parents don't like that. You know, I put the kids in an equal amount of time, whether they're the stars or whether they're the worst players in the world. They get equal time. And parents say, "Why don't you have this guy in? He can get a hit right now." And I said, "I told you, I'm not here to win titles." And actually, I have won some championships. But you know something? Those kids are relaxed when they're out there. And the only ones that are criticizing me are parents. The kids don't really care.
Yeah,
but they,
right.
But the kids care.
You're there to build confidence in the kids. And you can't be building confidence. One of the things I hate is these Little League coaches, right, who spend all their time with four players. They're infield, right? And
mm-hmm.
the rest of the kids are ignored for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is one of the most... I mean, what are they teaching? What are they thinking? You know, what they are out there for is not to win the championship, but to bring up confident kids, bring up kids who love to wear their little baseball hat all the day, all throughout the day, and can't wait to get to the next game. And they only do that by treating all the kids equally. no matter what their talent and no matter what their skill level is. And, you know, my dad always used to say, you know, talent will get you the first base, but it is character that brings you home. It is building up a kid who has the inner sense of trustworthiness and confidence and responsibility and respect. And when those, with those matters, it builds up a kid who has courage. To, that is to stand up for what is right. Yeah. And any parent who thinks that cheating is okay, or, you know, doing something that, you know, is cute and to trick somebody else to getting them out, is really teaching that child that cheating is the way to success.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of coaches teach that way.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It's rampant.
Horrible.
Yes.
There is no victory without honor. And what good is it if you win, if you knew that you cheated? And worse, that you taught children. I mean, you're teaching children, you know, to be smart, and that is smart means cheating.
Mm.
I mean, what you've just done is that you've been, you know, the worst thing that could happen to any child, and that is being taught that dishonesty is the only policy.
Yeah, one of the pleasures that I get as a coach is when I have, every year when you're drafting your team, obviously you have bottom rounds where you have kids that really don't have a clue. My thrill in life is not having my son, who's an all-star for in every sport, do well, because I know he's going to do well most of the time on his own. He doesn't need me to harass him. But my thrill is to see a kid that at the beginning of the year, he has no chance of contacting the ball and the bat. And later on in the year, getting a foul tip.
That's
or
right.
Finally getting a little squibber that rolls fair and he gets a hit. And I have actually stopped games and given the kid a game ball at that point. I mean, because,
isn't that wonderful?
You know, it's a kind of thing.
That's something I got to put in my next book, because you know, that is a great example.
The parents beam on things like that. A kid, a kid on the basketball team that just has no chance. I've had games where I've had a lead with 4 or 5 minutes left, and the only thing I tell my team is to pass to that kid. I don't care how many shots he has, he's going to get one in, and he eventually does, and they feel great about themselves. Every person on my team is integral part of the team, and I think that's, you know, it's really important.
Yeah, we have to get more people with that attitude that you have, you know, and hopefully Life Lessons from Little League will be one of the reasons, you know, people could learn how to do that. I'd urge moms to go out, have the moms read it, you know, put off a couple little sections for the fathers to read. It's a very easygoing book. It's very humorous. You know, it's the type of thing that, you know, you put on your night shelf, and every once in a while you pick up something. There's things on violence. There's things on emotional intelligence and showing what is really important, and even in school. It's not what your kid's IQ is, that is for math and verbal skills, but it's really their emotional intelligence, their tenderness, their compassion for other people. That is what's going to make them a success in life, and how to build that. You know, just the things that you're doing, one of the ways of building it is just what you do. I mean, the kid does something right, and boy, you stop the game, you know. You know, this kid, you know, may have just hit a single and may have been lucky that he got on bag, but boy, to reinforce that in a kid may be the one thing in their life that they'll look back at for the rest of their life and say, you know, I remember Joe so-and-so, my coach so-and-so, who did, you know, this for me. And, you know, it gave me confidence that I could do anything.
And it makes the parents feel good, too, because they're supporting all the other kids.
It's a good example. It shows the parents what they have to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing I think is really, really important. And, you know, I have notes here from kids that have written to me from when I've been coaching. And it's so nice to get a little bit of a thank you, because most of the time, all you get is complaints when you're coaching.
I know. Well, anyway, thank you very, very much for having me on the program. And if you'd like me back at any time, please, you know, call me. I'd be more than happy to participate. I feel it is so important. You know, I'm a physician, and I deal with a lot of very, very sick people, you know, but unfortunately, you know, I think I do 10 times as much good with, you know, helping parents become all that they can be for their children, then sometimes, you know, the medicine that I do, I'm a neurologist, so many of the cases I see are, you know, pretty sad cases.
Well, my wife is a surgeon as well, and call all the time, and I see the kind of pressure she's under. But this is a great book, and I tell people out there to go buy this. It's from sportspublishingllc.com. Amazon.com carries it. It's in all the bookstores, and you can get toll-free 877-424-BOOK, and I highly recommend this book. I think that if everybody that was coaching and every parent read this thing and actually listened to what it would be like, we would not have the situations like we've had in Massachusetts, where we've had hockey fathers killing other fathers. We've had coaches attacked. We've had players beaten up by parents. This is something that's unacceptable, and it's a symptomatic part of our society that if everybody actually did these things, we could eliminate that from the history.
And I have a whole chapter on violence and how to avoid it. And also for parents to realize that it isn't some maniac who becomes this type of violent parent. It is the average Joe. You know, in fact, it is doctors who lose their cool on the of all things, a baseball field. I'm an example of it. But God bless you, and please, you know, if you'd like me back, I'd be more than happy to talk to you anytime. Once again, tell me where you want me to send the books, and they'll be sent there, okay?
I'll do that. I'll give you a call back.
This book is not made to make money for anything but Little League.
Well, it's a great book. I really applaud you for writing it.
Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.